So I know that Halloween is over, and Thanksgiving is just around the corner, but like every retail store out there, I too have Christmas on the brain. Well, not Christmas exactly, just Christmas sweaters. I don't know if you've noticed, but the ugly Christmas sweater is a thing. It's no longer a name we give to those knitted sweaters we find at Goodwill that are covered with trees, snowmen, and lights. The ugly Christmas sweater is now an actual fashion design with that name right on the tag. If after worship today, you headed north and stopped by Target, you could pick up a fantastic ugly Christmas sweater. If you wanted a sweater that lights up using long-lasting LEDs, Target has more than a dozen to choose from. If you're looking for something more branded, or something to celebrate the new Star Wars movie that's coming out, with maybe R2-D2 wearing a Santa hat, you can get that in red. And if you love the story of Santa, but wished he had tabby cats pulling his sleigh instead of reindeer, your dream is now a reality. Ugly Christmas sweaters are amazing because they are completely absurd. They're silly, lighthearted, and when we see them, they challenge us to look at the world in a new way. When we see a coworker, family member, or friend wearing a ridiculous sweater, we're forced to see them in a new light. The more absurd their ugly Christmas sweater is, the more that sweater changes our viewpoint and perspective. Ugly Christmas sweaters are absurd, and looking for those kinds of absurdities is what we need to do while listening to Jesus' words today. Now, doing that isn't always easy, because when we hear Jesus speak, we want to keep his words reverent, sacred, and important. We want to take his words seriously. But that doesn't mean we can only approach his words in a serious fashion, because parables, by their very nature, are not completely serious. They are stories that are intentionally a little bit off. And they need to be because parables translate into human terms what Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. Since our world isn't the kingdom of heaven quite yet, we need stories that are a little bit off to help us see God more fully. So parables need to, in my opinion, and they need us, to find those slightly askew parts in the story, to find those ugly Christmas sweater moments. And one such moment comes at the very end of today's parable. Jesus, in a sentence designed to sum up the entire story, tells everyone to stay awake. But who in this parable actually stays awake? No one. Everyone, the wise and the foolish, sleep. So if everyone sleeps, what's the point of the story? Now, another thing about ugly Christmas sweaters is that there is usually more than one. And that rule applies to Jesus' parables too. We need to look for all the absurd moments. But that's hard to do because we no longer live in Jesus' cultural context. We are not all Jews living in Galilee and Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. So we don't really know what a wedding would really be like. From what we can tell, based on the best guess that we can make, part of the wedding involved the groom showing up on their wedding day, and one of the first rituals involved bridesmaids. These bridesmaids would use lamps and torches to escort the entire wedding party from the bride's home to the groom's. Once the groom, bride, and their families made this kind of move, then this three-day-long party would start. But we don't know exactly how many bridesmaids were required. So when Jesus mentioned 10, and then splits those 10 into two groups of 5, that's just a little bit off. And the story keeps being a little bit off because it starts with everyone ready to do their part. Every bridesmaid has a lamp, and it seems to me, at least, that every lamp is already lit. Even when they notice that the groom is delayed, they still keep their lamps lit, instead of conserving their oil while they wait. And this waiting stays weird, because everyone seems to fall asleep right where they are. Everything is still burning. Everyone is still in their place. They're all just there waiting. And then when the groom finally arrives in the middle of the night, some of the torches are ready, but others are about to go out. 5 of the bridesmaids need more oil, but their sisters do a completely un-Christian and un-Jesus-like thing. They don't share what they have. They reject their sisters, telling them to go to the store, which, if we're honest, is a weird thing to tell them, because what store is open in the middle of the night? These 5 bridesmaids go anyway, and while they're away, the groom finally shows up. The 5 that meet him don't tell him that the others have gone on an errand. Instead, they just start, and the escort happens. The party begins, and everyone ends up in this home, and the door shuts behind them. When the other bridesmaids finally show up, they are rejected again. So when we look at the details of the story, we see that everyone seems to be wearing some kind of ugly Christmas sweater. Everyone does something slightly absurd. The lamps burn unnecessarily. The wise do not share. The foolish are able to find an oil store at midnight. And the groom, who we usually identify as Jesus himself, isn't very kind, considerate, or loving. The only part of the story that we can attribute to Jesus himself is that very last sentence, which doesn't seem to make much sense because everyone sleeps. Everyone in this parable is a little absurd. Everyone is wearing an ugly Christmas sweater. The only thing that seems to stay consistent is the oil. So what is that oil supposed to be? Now we know without oil, lamps do not burn. Without oil, the bridesmaids would have nothing to bring them light in the middle of the night. Without that light, darkness and shadow is all there is. This parable, and the two right after it, two that we will hear in the next 2 weeks, are ones where we as a church and a people spend a lot of energy using them to try to figure out what they say about the afterlife. We don't want to be denied entry into the party that Jesus is throwing. So we latch onto those words, stay awake. And we do whatever we can to figure out what we need to do to get into heaven. We can become so laser-focused on getting into that final party that we miss a key to this parable that Jesus gives us way back in chapter 5. At the start of Jesus' ministry, in the very first parable he used to teach something to his friends, Jesus tells them, "You are the light of the world. Not you will be. You are," he says, "already burning bright. You are already lit up." We don't start this parable as characters without fuel, without the oil we need. We start, in some ways, as the light. And that's because you and I have something that the characters in this parable do not. A parable needs a storyteller, and our storyteller does more than just tell stories. Our storyteller made a promise to you in your baptism that the oil used to mark the sign of the cross on your forehead will never run out. Jesus promised that he will always give you the oil you need to shine bright. In the long periods of waiting, when nothing seems to go right, you will have that oil. In those moments when we feel stuck in one place, when we feel exhausted, worn out, and unsure of what to do next, Jesus promises that you will have your oil. When the days feel long and the nights feel even longer, Jesus promises that you will have the fuel you need for your journey. But that fuel isn't always a motivation or a power or a feeling that we have deep inside. Sometimes that fuel is also a community, a church, where everyone turns to each other and asks, "What do you need to keep going?" And in the moments of our lives when we don't even have an answer to that question, the community around us still does whatever it can to carry us through. The church sings when we cannot. The community will pray when we've stopped. Others will worship even though you might not be able to set foot through that church door. And all of us can believe the hurts that you share, and we can all do our part to break the silence of pain, suffering, stigma, and hate that makes this world hurt too much. And then, with a little piece of bread, a little thimble of drink, and a simple word of promise, we, as a church, as a community, as a people of faith, can give you all of Jesus, because Jesus has given all for you. Amen.